Now in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation on the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with a Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. May God bless the reading of his scripture. The traditional Jews in olden time, when they would read the word of God, would put a tent or a prayer covering over their head in a sign of reverence unto God. In reading the word of God, it was so precious to them that they wanted to display publicly and to their own heart's humility the reading of God's holy word. Is there more sacred words to be read in the word of God than these 14 verses that I've attempted to read to you this afternoon? In these 14 verses, it's as it has a body of divinity, of truth, of God's sovereign intention toward a people undeserving of his grace, undeserving of his mercy. But in spite of all the frailness of man, God has chosen within himself and his own decree to love a sinful people as we are. And then in all of these verses, I've tried to find a text. Which one would you pick? Would you pick verse 4 or 8? What verse would you pick to speak from this morning? I've chosen verse 6, and I will read it again for our hearing. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In the last 3 weeks or more, our pastor has been laboring, I thought, a thought. Maybe it was just a thought that's come to my heart, my soul. And that is the total acceptance of God. He has brought us in to the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not that we deserve to be brought in, but by his own purpose and will, we have become a part of Christ. We have become a part of that sacred union with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in Christ. All through the scripture, you'll find those words, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. All that we have, all that we shall be, we owe it all to that sacred union of being brought into the family of God, into Christ. All that I am, all that I shall be, all that I shall enjoy in days and the future is all because I've been in Him. Not that I am deserving, not that I've earned it, not that I have anticipated it, but because of God's own giving, because of God's own choosing, because of God's own willing, we are in Him. And in Christ, we have love. We have His love. We have His protection. We have everything in Him. When Almighty God looks upon us, when He thinks upon us, He thinks upon us as pure and delight as He does His own Son. He looks upon us and He sees the righteousness of His own Son. Does that bring you to tears? Does that make your heart weep this morning, knowing what God has done for you? Not that you've done anything to contribute toward it. Oh, walking down that aisle, that surely didn't make any difference. Your belief didn't make any difference. It was God's sovereign choosing. It was God's leaning. It's God's love that's brought us to this place, this very hour. This word acceptance this morning, the word that we're going to look at for just a few minutes this morning, accepted, accepted. The English word just doesn't do justice to what God is speaking to us in verse 6. This word accepted means something even greater, more wondrous than the word, the English word that we'll find in our dictionary. This word accepted is that meaning from that sermon that our preacher preached some weeks ago when the angel of the Lord came unto Mary and said, "Thou art highly favored." That's what accepted means. It means to be highly favored of God. What in the world did Mary do? Did Mary attend services? Was she taught how to pray? What did Mary ever do to deserve such honor, such privilege to be the very mother of our Lord Jesus Christ? The angel said, "Thou art highly favored." Nothing. She did nothing to deserve such an honor, such a position to carry the very Lord and Savior of ours. She had nothing to do with it. She was highly favored because she had found favor in the eyes of God. Take Mary's name out and put your name in that place. You are highly favored of God. You are acknowledged of God. You are accepted. You've been brought into the family of God because He desired you to be. You are praiseworthy this morning. That'll make you straighten your tie this morning. That'll make your back straighten up to think, "I'm highly favored. I'm praiseworthy. I'm laudable this morning." No, nothing to do with you. Nothing you've done, you contribute nothing toward it. It's what God sees in you that's not visible in our sight. I can look at you 1,000 years. I can never see praiseworthiness in your face. I can never see anything being highly favored about you. Just the opposite. Your friends, your loved ones, your family, your wife and husband can pick you to pieces at any moment and tell you 100 things that you are lacking in. But when our Lord God looks upon us, He doesn't pick upon us. He doesn't tear us apart. He lifts us up in glory, knowing that We are like his own son. We are likened to be that of our Lord and the spirit of our Lord and the strength of our Lord. This is how God looks upon us. And as he looked upon Mary, he looked upon her with great favor. He looked upon her and saw something that no one in the world could see but Almighty God. Because God is almighty, he can do things that no one else can do. He can see greatness within you. Not that it's there, because it's the greatness that he's going to put within you. It is the grace, the mercy of Almighty God that's instilled to us. That great word we preach, imputed. He's imputed this righteousness, this goodness, this strength, glory within every one of God's people. Mary was said to be favored of God. The angel said, thou art highly favored. We, like Mary, are highly favored. But in Christ, in him, in the beloved, every believer, every sinner, chosen, redeemed, and called by grace, is so complete and totally accepted of God that even in the eyes of the holy, omniscient Lord God, we are highly favored and praiseworthy. It's in his eyes. It's in God's decree that we are what we are. There's nothing in us. We're just a stack of bones this morning, clothed in sinful flesh. Any more than that, that's it. That's all we are. As a minister of the gospel of Christ, God calls men out, and every minister called of God is highly favored to carry the word of God and to declare it and to preach it and speak of it and teach of it. It's an honor to do so. But I remember what the scripture says. It calls these ministers, our preachers, our brethren, vessels of clay, broken vessels of clay. But God takes these broken pieces of clay and he binds them up and he gives them a message and he gives them the spirit to stand and proclaim boldly the grace of Almighty God to sinners just like himself. This is why it is to be favored. For God to use something that's not honorable and to take that dishonorable person and shove him out there and give him a message and declare the word of God. What a wonderful thing. There are three things that I want to say to you about this verse this afternoon, about being accepted of God. This acceptance with God is thorough. It's complete. It's total. And it's absolute. To be accepted in the beloved is to be justified from all things. Free from all sin. Free from their being accountable for sin. Our imputation of Christ's righteousness covers, masks, disguises your true identity this morning. What we are, I can see. But what we are, God cannot see this morning, because we have been covered by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and now it has a reflection of our Lord himself. So when God looks upon us, like looking into a beautiful stream, moving stream of water, and we look upon that water and you can see your reflection within that water, so our God, our Almighty God. When he looks upon us, he sees a reflection of none other than the glory and the righteousness of Almighty Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that want to make you straighten your tie this morning? Doesn't that make you want to stand straight? Does it humble you this morning? Knowing that all of this is true of you before God, and you know in yourself, it ain't nothing to do with me. Ain't nothing to do with me. It's all to do with Christ. It's all to do with what God has given us, not what we have that we have learned, not we have pulled together, not something that we have been schooled in, but it's a gift of Almighty God. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's thorough and it's complete, it's total, it's absolute. It is perfect. It's a perfect image of Almighty God that we are seeing of him. We use that illustration of a coin. A coin has an image on it, and that image tells what the value of that coin is. And in olden times, every coin, it had a die, and they would take it upon the piece of metal, and they would take a large hammer, and they would strike it. Boom! They would strike it. It wasn't pecked, it was struck. The image of Christ has been struck upon our souls. It's been struck in such a way that image will never go away. Because it is the image of Christ himself. It is the image that God looks upon us and says, well done. That word justification, we had a phrase so many years ago we used to denote it. And it was like this, just as though I had never sinned. Just as though I had never sinned. But there is a deeper meaning of justification even than that. To be justified by Almighty God is to know that before the foundation of the world, that was the image that God has for you. We're justified in Christ's blood, but we are recognized and accepted in the purpose of Almighty God before the world began. So though we've moved and bounced all over the globe in this thing called faith, yet our security was from the foundation of the world. Not the day you walked the aisle, not the day you said the sinner's prayer, not the day that you come to yourself and say, I can't live like this anymore. I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust. I'm going to put my hope and trust in God and through Christ. And I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to accept the righteousness of Christ to my life. Oh, before that, it was all true. All this thing of justification was true before you ever acknowledged it, before you ever came to that place in your life that you wanted something different in your life, that you actually now wanted to praise God instead of hating him and cursing him. You want to give your life to him. God's image of you was already in his heart and soul. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be the partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. God has brought us this far. He has brought us to recognize the wonders and the graciousness of Almighty God. But his intention was for many years before this. It was already stated in all eternity, God's purpose for us. The Lord God looks upon his people in Christ with such total satisfaction that he declares us to be pure, chaste, undefiled. He says, in regard to the elect of Christ, in the book of Song of Solomon, he says those precious words, thou art all fair. Thou art all fair. Though you may have the wrinkles of this life, you may have the warts of this life, yet God looks upon us and he says, thou art all fair. There's not a wrinkle within you. There's not a bump in you, the road for you, because God has placed you on the road of life, and it's Christ that we walk with. It's Christ that we walk upon. It's Christ that we live within. Colossians 2 and verse 10 says, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principalities and power. What glory we have. This is not something that we anticipate again. It's something that is ours already in Christ. The second thing I want you to know is this. Our acceptance with God is only in the beloved. Only in the beloved. Our prayers, as the preacher made mention of earlier in this day, our prayers we pray in one name, one acceptance before God is in through Christ. Remember those traditional Jews putting that cover over their head, that tent. Paul was a tent maker. He made those type things, I believe. He put that covering over their head before they would pray. I remember another illustration so many years ago that called on this man to pray. He had never prayed publicly before. And before he began his prayer, he said, God, have mercy upon me for what I'm about to say. Because he knew to stand publicly and to pray before a congregation, what a privilege, what an honor, what a responsibility. Our prayers can't leave our lips apart through Christ Jesus. They're of just words, just breath coming out of our mouth apart from the blessing of knowing Christ, being accepted in Christ. Our prayers will never get through the ceiling apart from Almighty God in Christ's blood. We are accepted everything we do. We can't go before God. He can't hear my prayer. I can't receive anything apart from the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the beloved. In Matthew 17, verse 5, when our Lord went to the Mount of Transfiguration, a voice came. That wonderful voice from heaven that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Again, put your name in that. John, Bill, and Harry, and Pete, and Joe, and whatever. I am well pleased. God is well pleased with you today. You are accepted with God today because of the merit and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can never stop saying it. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes it so. But the intent was in God before the foundation of the world. He's never changed his opinion of you. Regardless of whatever sin you found yourself in, his opinion of you has never changed. Never. Regardless of the conduct of this life, God's attitude, his commitment toward us as his son does not change. It's immutable. It's all in the beloved, as acceptable, as honorable, as pleased as God is in Christ, so he's pleased with you because I am, you are in Christ today. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness is filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity like the wind have taken us away. In this life, in our human existence, our lives are like the leaves outside of this sanctuary. They blow to and fro, yet in God's eyes, our lives don't blow to and fro up and down the streets. God doesn't love us one day and dislike us another, and is ashamed of us this day. God's opinion, God's intention toward his elect is constant. It's immutable. It doesn't change. Forever and ever. I think of my son. When he was a little boy, he was just like every little boy. We found underneath his bed, he had been playing with some matches. And somehow or another, he scorched the carpet. We didn't know it for a long time. You know, I thought that boy was the best boy that ever lived. But you know, I can never forget the fact that he could have set the house on fire that day. I'll never forget it. But all the fires that I've burned and all the fires that I've set in my life is not known of God, because I'm in Christ and he doesn't look upon those things. My faults, my warts, my wrinkles, not looked upon by Almighty God. We're upheld in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ today. The third thing I want you to remember about verse 6 is our acceptance with God in Christ is everlasting and therefore immutable. Bless God, our acceptance does not depend on us. When we walk out of this church, where will your journeys take you today? Where will they take you tomorrow? How will your week go? Will it be well with your soul, or will there be troubles in your family? It doesn't matter when it comes to Almighty God and his intentions toward us. His righteousness did not begin with us, and our righteousness is not maintained by us. We talk so much about justification. We also talk about sanctification. True sanctification is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We do our very best in this life to live an honorable life before this church, before our families, and before our community. But in all that we do, we will fail. We will fail 1,000 times a day. When God looks upon us, there is, if he desired, there would be sin 1,000 deep every single day. But in Christ Jesus, he sees nothing but his beloved Son. And way the Lord speaks of us, the Lord thinks of us, the Lord's intention toward us, it cannot be altered. Though we fall in our father Adam 1,000 times, yet we are accepted in the beloved. Though we came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies, we are still accepted in the beloved. Though we spend our days from our youth wandering in a rebellious pursuit against God in a league in with hell, we are yet accepted in the beloved. And though after the Lord God saved us by his wondrous grace, we sin and fall again 1,000 times a day, yet we are accepted in the beloved. What a glorious position we find ourselves in as a child of God. To be accepted in the beloved. To be looked upon by Almighty God as pure and righteous as he looks upon his own Son upon his own self, sharing the same righteousness of his Son. This is a message to stir our hearts, to cause us to contemplate our actions, knowing that one time in our life, this is something that we can't mess up. You know, you can lose jobs for your own fault and the fault of others. You may lose a wife or a husband because of your own fault or the fault of another. You may run into all kinds of problems in life. It may be your fault or the fault of another. But when it comes to our relationship, when it comes to our acceptance before Almighty God, it is complete and final and absolute. We have it in Christ. We can't lose it. It's something for us to thank God for His wondrous grace and His mercy. May God bless you.